Yep, how's that? Can you hear me? Is my ear all right? Yep, is it up?
Yep.
Yep. All right, this is from Marked Men. I jackknifed awake. My hands were tied to the headboard. Sykes had me by the feet. He had a belt looped around my ankles. I drew back my knees and thrust him away. He fell back. I could see his face in the shaft of orange light coming through the open curtains. He looked calm and sober. An alarm was screaming in the distance. Sykes advanced and grabbed my legs. I was astounded at his strength. He pinned them down with his knees and then lowered himself down on me so that we were eye to eye. Pinpoints of light. I could feel his heart beating in my chest. I just want you to know what it's like. He took my face in his hands and kissed me. A tender, suppliant kiss. You've got no idea. Let me show you. Let me show you. Then maybe you'll understand. Sykes didn't understand that he was presenting me with my greatest fear. The fear that, until that moment, I had not been able to conceptualize. I suddenly realized that the malaise the Poole twins had inspired in me was rooted in a horror of being trapped and helpless, and that they were the masters of it. That was the source of their power. Don't hurt me, I said. Sykes stroked my ear and kissed me again. He got up from the bed and I tried to relax as he pulled my jeans off, but I could hear my pulse racing. He bound my feet with the belt to the foot of the bed. Then he went out of the room and I was left alone with myself in the semi-darkness. The ceiling seemed to have dropped. The walls were closing in. The floor arched. I could hear the traffic on the motorway. One of the neighbours was playing Sweet Surrender, and in a paroxysm of nerves I almost started to laugh. Then when Sykes came back with the vodka bottle and a pair of scissors, I was sure he was going to kill me. Sykes knelt on the edge of the bed. He took the scissors and gently cut the t-shirt from my body. Then he cut a strip of fabric from the t-shirt and bound it tightly around my head over my eyes. Are you okay? He asked. Here, have a drink. He raised my head and tilted the bottle against my mouth. The vodka scoured my throat, burned its way down into me. I could feel it scrabbling in my stomach like a hot little animal. Sykes wiped my face with his hands. Behind the blindfold, colours blossomed and then everything turned a deep crimson. The only thing for me to grasp, to hang on to, was the sound of Sykes' voice. It always started like this, he said. They always tied them up, usually put a hood on them. But sometimes they let them see. I knew some of those kids from when I was out on the streets. Most of them were pretty fucked up. Dope, glue, antifreeze and that. Most of them didn't know what was happening. Sometimes they were left tied up for hours in the dark. You could hear them calling out when they gave up. At first it was a bit of a game for the twins. They'd keep those kids there for a few days, feeding them pills and booze and that, fuck around with them a bit, and then they'd cuff them to that stainless steel table and brand them. They had their own special iron, the Greek symbol for P. Those kids thought it was really staunch to begin with, like some kind of insignia, some kind of gang patch. When they started coming back for more, you know, the piercing, scarification and that, that's when the twins started getting a bit more creative, seeing how far they could go. They started getting inside those kids' heads, feeding them certain combinations of drugs, and then withholding them to see what would happen. And all this psychological stuff using tapes and sensory deprivation, I think that's what it's called. They had one kid strapped down in the dark for days, playing the same tape over and over again. They were feeding him God knows what through a drip. He wasn't much good after that. I think they had to get rid of him. Sykes was running his hands over me as he spoke, rubbing my nipples and stroking my cock. I didn't know how to react. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. respond to my body or my brain. It was like being hot and cold at once. He was silent for a long time. All I could hear was his hands on my skin and the air going in and out of him. When they sliced into my back, they tape recorded it, me screaming. They used to sample those tapes and play them at their cocktail party. Primal music, they called it. He coughed up a laugh. I let them do it, you know. This pattern on my back, I thought it would be cool. The first cut is the deepest and all that. Well, it wasn't. Fuck. They said they were going to give me an anaesthetic, but it wasn't. When they stuck the needle in, it was speed. The bed creaked as Sykes got up. I could hear him walking up and down on the floor. I was so wired, it was like I could feel that knife before it even touched me, he said. I could feel the sharpness. He started to cry. I tried to think of something to say, but it was as though I was gagged, as though my mouth was blindfolded. Suddenly, I felt overwhelmed by a longing for Sykes to make love to me, to get his hands on me. It didn't matter if he hurt me. He could do what he liked, as long as he stopped talking. I wanted him to take possession of me, and in that way, I would possess him. But Sykes didn't stop talking. He couldn't stop. The room was flooded with words, and I lay there in the dark, lashed to that bed, trying to stay afloat. Sometimes he came so close I could feel his breath on my face. Then he seemed to recede, and I could hardly hear his voice, as if he was in another room. I could see him in my head, hugging himself before the red square of the window, with the light in his hair. I didn't want to hear any more. I felt engulfed and contaminated. "That's enough," I shouted. "I've had enough." I could hear Sykes breathing, almost panting. Then I heard him drinking from a bottle of vodka, great choking gulps, and then I felt his weight on the bed and the bottle pressed against my lips. Sykes untied my hands and I removed the blindfold. Although the room was in semi-darkness, everything sprang into sharp relief. The bottle on the bedside table, a pile of books, the curtains shifting in the breeze, the unbearable orange light gushing through the open window. Sykes was lying face down on the counterpane. The scars on his back looked fierce and raw.